Have you ever been to a concert or maybe an orchestra where you just had the opportunity to listen to a piece of music? Just to sit there and reflect and listen to a piece of music. And as you do, you notice that there are several parts that work together. There's rhythm, there's melody, there's tempo. And all the parts, when they're played together, they produce something that's beautiful. They produce something that the composer has designed for them to produce. They come together in a certain way that the composer has arranged it to come together. But what happens when something's missing? What happens when maybe we hear the rhythm, but the melody is not there? Or perhaps we may hear the melody, but the rhythm is missing. There's a harmony that's absent. And sometimes if you listen and there's something that's missing, one part missing, we can perhaps just maybe recognize it if we know it. We can kind of say that sounds a little bit like something I recognize, but it's not full. There's something not quite there that makes the music feel full and finished. Over the last couple of weeks, you and I, we've spent some time in a series where we're talking about godly wisdom. And the Old Testament speaks about the wisdom of God. We've noticed this in our studies together about how creation speaks to God's wisdom and design and order. Wisdom in our choices, in our decisions. We've talked about wisdom and how we live our lives. We've learned that the Old Testament in Job 28 and verse 28 teaches us that wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. But as the Bible continues to unfold, it can feel like as though the music is not quite complete. It can feel like we're building towards something, but it's not at its fullest yet. We see and we hear the pieces throughout the story, but something still feels a little incomplete when we're talking about the wisdom of God, and that is until we come to the person of Jesus. See, the way the scriptures teach to talk about Jesus is that he's simply not another wise teacher. But Jesus is wisdom. He's the one who brings all the music together, the embodiment of wisdom itself. Jesus is where the melody of wisdom, if you will, has been leading us through the entire narrative. The wisdom of God is ultimately not found in a principle. It's not found in a proverb. The wisdom of God is not ultimately found in a certain philosophy. The wisdom of God is revealed in a person. And that is the person of Jesus. So let's dive into our thoughts and our text this morning. We're going to look at several passages together. But the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the church at Colossae, he records these words in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. He says, "I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You see, Paul is not saying here that Jesus is simply a good teacher. Paul's not saying that Jesus is one of a many teachers of wisdom. What Paul is saying is that wisdom is taking on human form, and that is the person of Jesus. You may recall from one of our earlier lessons that we talked about wisdom being present at creation, wisdom being present in the beginning. Proverbs chapter 8 speaks of wisdom. It personifies wisdom. And it tells us that wisdom was present in the very beginning when the world came together. And what Paul is helping us see is that Jesus, when he steps into the world, wisdom again steps into his creation. Jesus steps into his creation, and wisdom is present in the person of Jesus. Wisdom is made visible through Jesus. And what does Jesus teach? One of the things that he teaches is the kingdom of God. One of the things that he proclaims is God's kingdom. And when Jesus begins teaching about life in the kingdom, he does something very surprising. He presents a kind of wisdom that feels completely opposite or completely upside down as we compare it to the wisdom of the world. See, the world says, promote yourself. The world says, protect yourself at all costs. The world tells us to seek power, defeat and crush your enemies. The world says to put yourself first. But what does Jesus say? It's upside down, isn't it? Of what the world often teaches, blessed are the poor in spirit. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. Seek first the kingdom of God. That doesn't sound like the wisdom that we often hear from the world, does it? What it sounds like is what the brother of Jesus, James, speaks about, a wisdom that is from above. And perhaps we can see this nowhere more clearly than in the Sermon on the Mount. One of the longest continuous sections of Jesus' teaching that we have in the Gospels is what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. And what Jesus is doing is not merely giving moral instruction. He's not just revealing what it is to live in this world. He's revealing what a wise life truly looks like in the kingdom of God. What Jesus is doing through his teaching is sharing what wisdom, what godly wisdom looks like when it's applied in our lives. And Jesus concludes that section in Matthew chapter 7, that section of teaching, with a parable. In Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You see what Jesus is saying here? Wisdom is not simply knowing things. Wisdom is not simply knowing Jesus. Wisdom is when we build our lives on his words. It's not simply knowing about Jesus. Wisdom forms, wisdom builds on his truth, his words. The Sermon on the Mount shows us what godly wisdom looks like in our daily lives, in life. But the story of Jesus and the story of the Bible doesn't conclude at the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't stop there. The story of Scripture continues. And Jesus leads us to a cross. And here again, the wisdom of God is revealed, but not in the way we would expect, not in the way that the world would teach. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 and following, when he recorded, "Where is the wise person? Where's the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. The Jews demand a sign and the Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Can you imagine what Paul is talking about here? An instrument that was very purposed was to bring humility. Its very purpose was to bring shame and dishonor. It was an instrument meant for punishment. I would even say torture and death. But Paul says, this instrument reveals the wisdom of God. The apostles preached Christ crucified. To some, this was hard to accept. Others considered it pure foolishness. However, Christ and the cross are the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's an upside-down wisdom. It's an upside-down wisdom that leads us to the kingdom of God. The cross becomes a clear picture of God's wisdom, overcoming victory and surrender, life and death, glory and humility. It's all inverted, it's all upside down, but it's the wisdom of God on display through the person of Jesus. And the cross is where that fracture that we talked about in Genesis 3 is healed. The cross is where the wisdom of God overturns and overpowers the wisdom of the world. Last week in our lesson, we mentioned how James in his letter seems to be shaped by the words of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, the Proverbs. James was someone who was saturated in the words of Scripture. So let's return to Jesus' teaching in Luke chapter 6 and verses 46 through 49. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not be shaken. It could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." God's wisdom is seen in how we respond to the words of Jesus. So it's not just hearing them. It's not just about having a knowledge of them. but it's about building our lives on his words. And Jesus is clear. Life's going to be challenging. There's going to be tests. Even for those who build their lives on the word of Jesus, storms are still going to come. Pressures are going to rise, no matter if you're building your life on the words of Jesus or if you're building your life on an unstable foundation, you're going to experience storms and pressures. But what is he telling you? If it's built on his words, it's going to stand. It may take the brunt of strong winds. It may take the brunt of rising waters. But a life built on the wisdom of Jesus is not going to fall. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It's easy to say these words. It's easy to say, hey, I just want you to follow the words of Jesus. But you and I, we know we've been walking with Christ long enough to know it's not easy, is it? It's going to take time in his word. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take guidance through his spirit. It's going to take a community of those who are devoted to following Christ together. See, wisdom, at its core, godly wisdom is not just acknowledging Jesus. It's not just claiming we know him. It's following him. It's aligning our lives every day with his words. It's doing what he says. As we follow the way of wisdom he displays. Wisdom is not just hearing the words of Jesus. It's building our lives on those words. Building a solid foundation through the words of Christ. Our lives today, they're challenging. You and I are faced with difficult decisions, competing voices each day. And as followers of Jesus, we find ourselves asking, what decision, what choice best aligns with God's kingdom? You and I, we find ourselves asking the question almost daily, how should I respond to this situation as a follower of Jesus? But considering our thoughts today, our lesson today, I want to slightly reframe this question. How can I follow Jesus in this moment? How do I follow Jesus in this moment? Because God's wisdom has been revealed in a person. In the person of Jesus. We can know the Word of God. We can know the Scriptures. But until we know Jesus, we won't truly know His wisdom. Even though the texts are crucial to our formation, the inspired Word of God, the text point us to a person. And if you and I spend our lives studying the text but never know the person of Jesus, we're not going to know the wisdom that God desires for our lives. Wisdom is a life shaped by him. It's something that we live. Wisdom is not a philosophy, it's something and someone we follow. The wisdom of God is not found in figuring life all out. It's found by following Jesus through it. And that brings us back to where we started. If life is similar to a piece of music, There's a lot of competing rhymes and rhythms in our world. A lot of voices trying to shape the way we live. And the world offers its own melody of wisdom, telling us what success is, telling us what strength looks like, telling us how to get ahead. But in Jesus, we finally hear the composer clearly. He's not just another note in the story of God's wisdom. Jesus is the one who brings it all together. And you and I today, we don't have to figure out the music of life all on our own. We're invited to be formed by the very one who composed it. When we follow Jesus, our lives begin to echo the music of God's wisdom into our world. And today, just as with me, I need that wisdom. Our world needs that wisdom today, and it needs Christians who are willing to follow the wisdom of God, even when it may look unproductive, even when it may not look like wisdom should look. We need Christians who are willing to follow the one who is wisdom.